Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're listening to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, Jeff Budd and Laura Kaltenstein to talk about the upcoming Wearable Art Show and what you could do to prepare for it. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Good morning.
Well, let's see, Wearable Art Show this year, March 26th. It's going to be at the Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
And your overall message to the public is,
if you're going to make something for the Wearable Art Show for March 26th, you have 4 months, and it's probably time to start working on it.
Okay, so this is a gentle nudge, a reminder for those who are considering making something.
Yeah. And I've talked to several people, well, more probably a little bit more than several people that have already begun, and we were talking earlier, I've begun. So we're just, yeah, that's the main point. If you're going to do it, it's time to start thinking seriously. And I guess I'll just jump in a couple things. One, we're doing it at the Performing Arts Center. There'll be a matinee show like we usually do and an evening show. And the difference is we have the lighting technology that they have there. And originally I was talking with Jay and we asked about doing slides, if you wanted to have a slide or if you wanted to have a color. And it's come down to his recommendation, and I trust his judgment on this, is use a color. If you wanted to have a slide for the background, you're going to be lost because the space is so big and the slide will be on the back of the theater, you know, on the stage, and so you'll just look tiny. So I think if you really want to have a slide, go for it, but you've been forewarned. But he has a technology and experience to make you really look good with colors. So
this is new for folks that you could take into consideration when you're designing your wearable art.
Yep.
A color or slide on a screen behind you.
Yes. Or the color. He can fan the thing down to really focus on you. So we're highly encouraging people to think about a color.
And lighting, too. Yep. I can imagine shiny stuff really glinting.
And he has spotlights. You know, when we did it at the Centennial Building, the spotlights would blind people. So these spotlights won't blind you.
Okay.
Maybe the models, but.
So a new dimension for design. And Jeff, you said that you and Laura over here are already working on your wearable art. Laura, you're not going to divulge what you're thinking about, but I wanted to talk a bit about your design process, how you go about creating a piece of wearable art. And you've been doing this for quite a while, haven't you?
I did it all except for the first year.
Okay.
Well, you made the first one.
I did make the first one for Jeff, but I was way too afraid to get on stage the first year.
So now do you make an outfit and then also model it?
I do. I always model my own.
Okay. And tell us about your design process. Do you start with the materials or do you start with the concept?
I start with the materials, and I just found the materials, so I had no idea what I was going to do until the other day when I found the materials in a shed. And the best part of that is there's enough of it, I'm sure. And the materials, that's the thing that is going to give you the trouble when you get down to the wire and down to the deadline. Your problems will usually come up with how to put the materials together and do you have enough of them. So I do that first.
And you like to start early. You like to start, well, ahead of time as much as possible.
Well ahead of time. There was one show where at the end of the show, Jeff and I said something to each other and we said, that's it for next year. And we had our idea before the show was over. But that doesn't always happen.
So you find your materials. What have been some of your favorite materials over the years?
Reused tourist ponchos, because they use them once and then they hand them to you and they come in all colors. I made a dress out of that. I try not to use just fabric or cardboard, but I did use cardboard 1 year to make a pirate ship that we wore with a lot of embellishments. Jeff used a blue tarp as a suit. I used extra tough boots, which was a good material. It was easy to put together. You could sew it.
So you find the material, and it's just sort of an aha moment, it seems, just going about your daily life, and then suddenly there it is.
There it is, and it can be put together pretty easily. It's going to hurt my hands, but it can be put together. And then when I usually get it about half put together, I've gone online and have a whole folder and some sketches full of designs, and when I get it mostly put together and I kind of have an idea of what it is, then I start listening to music, because sometimes the lyrics of the music can suggest something else for the final touches. And the music I pick because of the pace, because I'm not going to go out there and dance. A lot of people do. Not me. Not yet, anyway.
So then you're also picking out your music for the show itself.
Haven't got to that yet.
Okay. So your material informs your design. About mm-hmm. halfway through, you start listening to music to sort of continue that whole process. You mentioned some considerations when you're looking at materials are, is there enough of it to actually, what are some other considerations?
How you're going to stick it together. A lot of people use hot glue. I use shoe goop or household goop, G-O-O-P.
And why is that?
It's magic. It's easy to control, and it can hold things. But sometimes you also have to wire it together. Sometimes something like shoe goop will dissolve the styrofoam you're working with. That's why I start with the materials first and get all that worked out. Caulking. You can put things together with water-based caulking if shoe goop is too fiery for styrofoam.
So shoe goop, a pro tip here. Now, Jeff, you have the opposite process. You start with your idea, and then you find your material.
Well, I've never made one yet, so I've always had to go out and pay for it or have the kindness of friends to make it. So that's how I start. So I've already got I know what I wanted to do this year, probably close to last year when we figured out. I don't always do the theme or rarely do the theme, but this year I'll be within the theme, I think, which is 8 stars and Alaska or either one. And you can use it or not. We don't care. And I had my idea, and it's essentially built now. We just have to put on the frills, as it were, and some of the things to bring it to fruition. But that's nice to have that, the hard part done, I think.
So you come up with a theme, you find a person to help you.
So Laura's made a bunch, and Cheryl Vastola contracted with her to make several, too, that were real nice.
Okay, so many ways to go about constructing your wearable art, but now is the time to start working on it, because March 26th really isn't that far away when you're thinking about making an entire outfit. Now, you mentioned the theme. Would you mind repeating it again?
Yes. We based it on the year it is. The first year we did it was First Impression. This is the 8th year of doing it. So it's 8 stars and Alaska. So it's essentially an Alaska theme, if you like. So that's pretty open. I'm sure there'll be some outfits with stars on them, and that's fine, too. And everybody, even when people have the same material, it's always a little bit different because it comes from their own imagination. So that's fun to do that. Okay. And then it's fun to pick out the music, and then you have 75 words or less. And you have the 2 minutes. You don't have to use the 2 minutes. You don't have to use 75 words, but we try to cap it at that and then let people go at it on the runway.
Okay, so you can introduce your outfit. You walk the runway, or you could dance the runway. You have music behind you, and now this year you can have color behind you.
I would say stick with the color and forget the slides. That was a mistake I probably made.
Well, let's talk about timeline. When do people have to register?
Registration is due the 29th. The show's the 26th of March, and we'd like to get it in the 29th of February, which I think this in 2016 is a leap year. And the reason for that is we have to put the program together. We have to get all the music together. And that takes a while to compile that. And then so if you said, Melissa, if you said, oh, I want to have some song, and then Peter Apathy will put the music together. Well, if he has trouble finding that or finding the version you want, that gives us time to get everything together. Jay at the Performing Arts Center needs time to get the colors. We need to give him a book, who's doing what order everybody's in, what color they want, et cetera. So there's prep time behind the scenes, too. So it really, really helps us if you get the stuff in your application in time. Doesn't mean you have to have the piece done, because I know some people don't get it done till right at the day. And then the dress rehearsal really helps to see if it works, and you can correct your mistakes.
Okay. We're just about out of time. Any parting thoughts or encouragement for those considering making some wearable art?
If you're terrified, go do it, because the second you come out on the stage, even though you feel like you're going to faint waiting in the background, when you see the smiles on people's faces, you realize how much fun they're having, how much they love what you've done, and you've only got 2 minutes.
And this is for grown-ups and kids.
Yeah, well, I think the youngest we've ever had is a baby in diapers, and last year, 2 years ago, Carol Knuth had their little baby, And I don't know how old Bill Foster is. I'm not going to say if I knew anyhow, but he's one of the upper age levels.
All ages.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, folks.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Jeff Budd and Laura Kaltenstein about the upcoming Wearable Art Show. Now is the time to start planning your piece.